We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Sam and Greg with you into the 9 o'clock hour on this King Holiday Monday. So glad that you're with us. And if you don't have to get out and move around today, we'll just hang out with us for another hour here until 10 a.m. In for John and Hugh. And, you know, like I said, Greg, we're going to make sure everything's in place. We're not going to break anything. Everything stays in place. So
yeah.
When they come back tomorrow, we think they, you know, be just like we hadn't been there. So we'd be invited back sometime.
Yes. And we say to you all, top of the hour, good morning, Georgia.
Morning.
And you find folks out in Buford.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Home of the Wolves. But they're kind of digging out, too, because they got quite a bit of that. You know, they're up close to the lake. So I'm sure some people there, hopefully they didn't have any power outages or any trees down. Up in Buford, but I'm sure they did get some pretty good snowfall up there.
You know, speaking of Buford, and real quickly, just to revisit what I was talking about with Casting Call here, there's an opportunity for you to use for your car to make you money in this week's Casting Call. They're looking for older cars, 2010 and older, and especially up near the Buford area. There's going to be some shooting up there, so those of you near Buford, you got some 2010 vehicles, not just cars, vehicles, pretty good condition. Can make you some money this week. There's also a need for stylish aliens. That's all I'm going to say. You need to go to the breakdown and see what that means. So I just leave it at that. I just leave it at that because we got other things.
Brain play around with that, right?
Yeah, we got other things to talk about. Coming up later on in the hour, we're going to talk to Terrell Thomas as we get ready on this King Holiday to talk basketball. Hawks are going to be playing tonight against the world champs, 6 o'clock tip off, and you can hear that game right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, and today's matchups also in NFL wildcard games. Tonight, Monday Night Football with the Cardinals and the Rams. I'm trying to think of who's the greatest player from those two teams.
Cardinals?
Yeah. Is it Larry Fitzgerald?
One of them it's not suited up. But some people say Larry Wilson was like a safety for the Cardinals back in the St. Louis days.
Oh, is that Art Arena? Oh, what's his name? Who are you thinking of?
Larry Wilson, number 8.
Oh, okay.
He was a safety that played for them back in those days. So you know, yeah, some great players at different times, but I think he may have been one of the greatest ones when they were in St. Louis, and then in the Arizona time, probably be.
What about Dan Dierdorf?
Wow.
or what's his name? That Conrad Dobler.
Conrad Dobler.
Yeah, that's a Hall of Famer.
He's known as one of the dirtiest.
Yep.
the dirtiest players ever.
Yeah.
Yep.
Garrett came on here, and when I asked that question, who did you say?
Eric Dickerson.
Okay, we're talking about the Cardinals, though. You're right for the Rams.
Oh, I was about to say.
Yeah, all right. Okay.
You also said, technically, you can say Emmitt Smith then.
No, I wouldn't. Because at that point, he was a compiler. He's just trying to pass Walter. That's all he was doing.
Okay.
That's kind of like us claiming Eric Dickerson here with the Falcons, right?
That's right. Yeah.
Right.
Or Babe Ruth for the Braves, you know?
Hang on a second. Is that such a clear-cut answer? Eric Dickerson, the greatest Ram?
For me, it is.
Ram?
Yeah, because he thought we were talking about the, you know.
Player period?
Yeah.
I mean, it was this guy named Deacon Jones that they invented
Thank
the stat
you.
For.
There you go.
They weren't even keeping a stat before that dude came along. We call it sacks now.
Right.
He was doing it so much they weren't even counting him.
He figured he had over 200 sacks. I don't know. I think that's a close, you know, who gets it at 92.9 The Game. Who's the greatest Los Angeles Ram or Oakland, you know? and the Rams came to St. Louis for a minute. But I don't think we're going to put.
Well, they're not people going to say the quarterback.
Warner?
Going to say Kurt Warner.
He was there for, greatest show on turf. You
greatest
got that?
Show on turf had all them dudes there.
Dig
man.
For Meal and all of them. I get it, but it was a flash, though. It wasn't.
But they crossed the finish line.
They did, but it wasn't sustainable.
Other ones didn't, but they crossed the finish line.
I'm interested to see what folks feel about that. The greatest Ram. Okay, Kurt Warner, Deacon Jones, or Eric Dickerson? That's a good one.
I might go with Tank Younger.
Tank Younger?
Yeah.
And his position was?
Running back. He was the first of Eddie Robinson's Grambling Tigers to be drafted into the National Football League.
Okay. If you're going to go back, I'm going to say Bob Hayes.
No, Bob Hayes played for the Cowboys.
Oh, that's right. What am I okay, I just kick me off this game show. I don't know why I thought Bob Hayes. Man, did he end up there?
They invented zone defense for him.
Roman Gabriel?
Roman Gabriel's quarterback with the Rams.
Yeah. I don't know.
They had the front four that was the singing group.
The Deacon, the fearsome foursome. Let me see if I can get them. Deacon Jones, Rosie Greer, Lamar Lundy, and who am I missing?
Father Murphy.
Merlin Olsen.
The florist.
Merlin Olsen.
Doing commercials for FTD.
Yes, he was. Yes, he was. Little House on the Prairie. Yeah. We digress. Sam and Greg, we're in here this morning talking silliness on this holiday morning, in for John and Hugh. We have not spent much time, but maybe because of the story, is his left the stage and is in Dubai right now, but not much Aussie Open. Naomi Osaka, she won her match.
Yep, and that was good news. She was in good spirits with the media afterwards. Somebody tried to ask her something about Djokovic. She says, I'm going to pass on that, and I don't blame her. But she's off to a good start. American Coco Gauff loses in the first round, and that's a big disappointment. We're kind of waiting to see her take that next step and be that long-standing American presence who's going to be up toward the top. And, the thing that gets you there is playing well in the major tournaments. And she's out early in this one. On the men's side, though, some American men were able to win their first round matches. And that's pretty impressive because we've had trouble getting American male players through to the second round in many of these events. So Riley Opelka's into the second round. Mackenzie McDonald's into the second round. Tommy Paul also into the second round on the men's side. Now, coming up later on today, John Isner will play his first round match. Andy Murray is there, and he's going to play his first round match. And on the women's side, Petra Kvitova, Shelby Rogers from America, Simona Halep, those are all coming up today or tomorrow as we watch them at 7 o'clock tonight. Will be like 11 o'clock Wednesday? Right. No.
If they're 13 hours ahead, right? Because I know that just from the Olympics when they were in Beijing and they were in that same time zone, right?
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
So, yeah,
that's close enough.
That's a crazy, crazy time thing. But, like, it's a thing that keeps you up all night watching tennis. So that's what keeps you up all night. And you know something? Speaking of tennis, something I discovered this past week when I went to retrieve some Georgia National Championship shirts to send some friends out of town, is that tennis balls are back. You know, tennis balls were gone. They were stuck on that boat out there in Long Beach with all that other stuff.
I was wondering where you were going with that. Tennis balls are back.
Because I went to a number of places and there were none. I mean, no tennis balls in some of these sort of big-time sporting goods stores.
You mean like crackers off the shelf?
Just like that. Well, at least they had some bad crackers that are the knockoffs. You ain't got knockoff tennis yet.
Yeah, you do the dog for the dogs to play with.
Oh, yeah, but they didn't have any of them in the tennis section though. But they think I went last week and they're back. So that was kind of amazing. As we have ice and snow outside, we can't go out and play. But at least when the ice goes away, you got some tennis balls back in the store.
Okay. I just, again, I thought that along with her win, the story yesterday from Osaka was the fact that she sat down and comfortably conversed, even joked when asked the question about Djokovic. You know, she didn't want to go there. But her sitting down and,
It's big for this event that some people would say is kind of devoid of star power. with no Williams sisters, with no Federer, and now no Djokovic. So, yeah, it's great to have Naomi Osaka there to bring some star power back. But, you know, when that happens, it also leaves the tournament open for some new faces to step up and take that place, get that championship, and get that big paycheck, too. So, you know, the competition is going to be great, and it should still be fun to watch, even if we lose some sleep this week.
Go ahead. Well, I was going to say, do you think Nadal's got one more in him? And if it is it going to happen at the French?
Oh, yeah, it could. He's off to a good start. You know, he got one more in him for sure, I think, the French. But it would be good to see him, you know, see if he can pull it together and get off to a good start and start the year off right with a win this week. So that's what we're watching for.
Anyway, I jumped on you. You seemed like you were going to make a point about something. I'm still looking at this.
I was getting ready to show you to talk about the thing I sent you the picture of.
Okay, well, we should tease that for the next segment because I'm still working on these Rams.
Yeah, next segment, who's, we got something
not like the next segment, but the last one we talk about was coming up today. Okay. But if you know, because we'd be up against it. But I'm still working on this Ram thing. Who's the greatest Ram? And we didn't mention Marshall Faulk either.
Marshall Faulk, but he's all in that team. Like I said, they got across the finish line. You got Torrey Holt, who's waiting for another vote for the Hall of Fame, which I hope he makes it in personally because I covered him as a high school player. So, yep.
We can narrow this down and
I'll tell you another one. It's a long time nobody would talk about, but he showed up for the longest time, Jackie Slater.
That's true. That's true.
Out of what school? Jackson State.
Oh, you always got a way of bringing it back around to Dion.
No, they ain't say nothing about Dion.
You always got a way to bring it back to Dion.
It's not back to Dion. He was at Jackson State long before Dion.
We're having this silly conversation because obviously we were talking earlier about tonight's last wild card game between the Cardinals and the Rams, which, by the way, you can hear right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Listen, running back. Is it an obvious choice of who's the best running back from that team? Is it Marshall Faulk or is it Eric Dickerson?
I'd probably say Dickerson over a longer period of time. He played his best time there. Remember, Faulk was with the Colts before he came over.
Well, either way, it's going to be a great game here. We are going to switch gears and talk about MLK Day basketball games, most notably the Hawks taking on the world champs. We can hear that game right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game 2, and we're going to talk to the guy we go to when we want in-depth, deep, deep, deep Hawks knowledge. That's Sorrell Thomas. He's going to join us next. Sam and Greg in for John and Hugh. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Take us with you on the Odyssey app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It's Sam and Greg on this King Holiday, Monday morning where you normally hear John and Hugh, but we are in for the boys. They'll be back tomorrow. Mr. Crenshaw setting the tone musically for this show throughout the day. I want to thank you. You've done a marvelous job.
Do you remember that?
Fill us in. I do, but the audience.
That was a collection. They made this like late 80s, mm-hmm. And it's like, it's like a Curtis Blow, Fat Boys, New Edition, Whitney Houston. As everybody's in it, JT Taylor from Kool & the Gang. My goodness, Lisa Cult Jam.
Lisa.
It's all those groups from that time all got together and made this song as a tribute to Dr. King.
There you go. So, yeah, miss me some Fat Boys.
Yeah, man, they were good. Run DMC was in on that, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Quickly, before we go to our guests here, did you hear one of the spots that we had during the break, and it featured David Spade? If you heard that spot. And if you didn't, it doesn't matter. Let me move on here. He's selling his house in L.A. And the reason I bring this up is because this is one of the most famous houses in that city. David Spade bought that house from Prince. Okay, so you had David Spade, who's a character who had all kinds of parties and doing his thing. And then before that, Prince owned it. And before that, Eddie Murphy owned it.
Whoa.
And before that, Warren Beatty owned it.
Yikes.
Now think about the walls talking in that house.
Man, that'd be a conversation.
Holy
jeez. Great conversation.
Yeah, so anyway, Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game again, in for John and Hugh this morning. I want to welcome our guest from These Urban Times, but he is the voice we go to on Sundays in our usual spot when we're here from 6 until 10, Terrell Thomas. And, of course, on this King Day.
Good morning, gentlemen. Good morning.
Good morning, man. Getting ready for tonight's Hawks-Bucks matchup. The world champs are coming into town. But Sam and I have spent a good bit of this day when we've talked about the NBA and this team. It's head-scratching at this point. It really is. You don't know who's going to be healthy when you're getting them back. And while there are some play that's being elevated by certain players, the one thing, at least for me, that I'm hanging my hat on, Terrell, and I don't know how you get this back and how long it takes, but the word chemistry. It's a lot of teams that don't have the top players that some do. That's what gets them over. And for the Hawks, I'm just wondering, you know, how long is that going to take for this to be a part of getting them back at least to 500? That was for you, Terrell. Did we lose him? Not sure that we did. All right. Well, Mr. Crenshaw, I'll throw that out to you again while we work on getting Terrell Thomas back. Okay. I'm sure Garrett's trying to work on him right now. We heard him a minute ago.
Because he was there.
Yes, he was. But for whatever reason, he's not now.
Get him back.
So let's you and I.
Good morning, gentlemen.
There you go.
Oh, he's back. Chemistry, man. How does this team recapture some chemistry?
Seems like there's a Grinch out in his area too. That's all right. Yeah, Garrett will let us know when we got him back there. But we seem to be struggling with a connection with Terrell Thomas. Again, yeah, we talked about that earlier. And how long does it take? What are the players? We know about the depth chart of this team and who's out and when are they coming back. Coach just got back himself.
And here's the other thing, Greg. Here's the other thing. You just make this trade, which we were going to talk with Terrell about, because he was talking about this trade with Cam Reddish for weeks, days before it took place. If somebody does come in, a.k.a. Ben Simmons, whomever, how do you fix them into a situation where you're still trying to establish chemistry with the players you already have? That's a whole other entity, and you would expect whoever you get to be someone you want to come in and make an instant impact.
Yeah, I don't know, and that's the unanswerable question. When you look at these guys right now, for me, 17 and 25 as they sit here on the 17th day of January, got a lot of season left, but, you know, let's get to 500 first. Let's not even talk about the playoffs, and yet, you know, we've heard some folks talking about what these guys will do just getting into the playoffs.
Good morning. Yeah.
Now, we got you. Give us a check one, too. You seem to have some kind of gremlin in your equipment there, Terrell. First of all, thank you, and let's just jump on the first question we wanted to ask you. We were talking about the chemistry or lack thereof with this team, and obviously a lot of it is due to attrition. But whether they get them all back healthy and start to gel and individuals have good games, it's the chemistry that has a team ascend through the playoffs. And we were just wondering in your thoughts on how long it takes, given where they are, to get that chemistry back.
Yeah, well, once again, good morning, and thank you for having me today. I don't know how long it's going to take. And, you know, that's what seems to be so alarming. When our Hawks went on that run last season, it seemed like chemistry, in my opinion, was at the head of it. There wasn't a lot of experience at that time with this team. They were still gelling and learning each other. But it seemed like when Coach McMillan took over the locker room, the chemistry instantly changed. And we've seen over the past, I'll say 2 months, that chemistry just hasn't been there. Now, there are several reasons, and I hate to use this term, several excuses in which we could throw out there as far as COVID and injuries and things of that nature. But for a team who made it to the Eastern Conference Finals last year, that still is pretty alarming and surprising. I'm hoping that during this home stretch, they're able to, you know, they'll be back in their beds, they'll be back getting some home cooking. We've had some roster moves as of recently that hopefully, within this homestand and starting tonight, we'll be able to see that chemistry again on the floor of our guys. So I hope it's not something that's going to take too long, because it's definitely something that's missing and we need it urgently.
Spending time on the waitforit.com hotline on this King Holiday Monday with Terrell Thomas. He is social. You can find him on Twitter at Eldorado2452, at Eldorado2452. Okay, the roster move. And you were talking days that they were going to make a trade and that Cam Reddish was going to be on the block and it would happen. You told us that weeks ago. Now, who are we going to get in return? And my thing is this. We're trying to establish chemistry with the guys we got. That person better be a pretty good fit or be able to catch on quick if they're going to come in and make an instant impact, right?
Yeah, I believe so. I believe it would be a quick fit. But, you know, it's still so much that has to go into it, I guess, if that makes sense. But I do think that the Hawks are just a piece away, and really a piece away defensively. We know what they do offensively and all their capabilities on the offensive end of the ball, but they're having issues with stopping other teams from scoring. And I think that's what's, you know, been large part in them getting losses as of recently. So adding a defensive specialist, someone who can immediately gel, in my opinion, with the team and with the players we have, I think it would be a great look, and I think it would be something that is deeply and desperately needed for our Hawks roster.
Yeah, we were talking about this earlier. Boy, if there was ever a night for Capella to be out there, it's coming in with Giannis coming.
Yes.
Of the players that they have on this roster right now, healthy, of course, who would you like to see get more playing time and have an opportunity to shine in a way that he hasn't before?
I couldn't hear the last part you said.
I'm sorry. Is there a player on the roster right now that's not, you know, not part of the starting five regularly, but you would like to see have an opportunity to get out there and play in a way that, you know, you think they have some abilities to be a regular, maybe not a starter, but somebody to see more playing time? Who would you like to see that be?
I guess it would have to be DeAndre Hunter. I mean, he was hurt, so that was the main reason why he hadn't been getting a lot of playing time. But DeAndre Hunter is a gentleman who – we know he has an immense amount of talent on the offensive end and defensive end. And I will also throw Gallo into that mix. You know, we've heard Gallo's name in some trade rumors as of recently, but I've been really impressed with Gallo over this past week. We've seen his minutes increase. We've seen his role begin to be a little bit more defined, but he's also been very vocal. That's something that I haven't seen from Gallo really since he's been here with our Hawks. So I would definitely say, DeAndre Hunter, we need to see more of him on the floor, which I believe we will, being as though, you know, his minutes will ramp up from his injury. But a gentleman like Gallo, he's just so versatile on the floor. He has such a high basketball IQ. I think when he's on the floor, it does nothing but benefit our team.
Spending time on the waitfor.com hotline with Terrell Thomas talking about Hawks as they get set to take on the Milwaukee Bucks later today. You can hear it here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 5:30 pregame, 6 o'clock tip. A note about an injury. With Brooklyn, and once again, their big three not on the floor together. It's like these guys are never going to play together. But thoughts about this injury for Durant, how long he's going to be sidelined, and how does it impact that team?
Well, I'll tell you what, since we lost Terrell, I can answer that question, Sam. I don't know what happened, but I actually looked into this because the timing of this couldn't have come better for Brooklyn. Next 15 games, they only got four at home, which means Kyrie can play in 16 of them games. And we talked about chemistry with the Hawks. This is where you get a chance. If Kyrie can't play at home and you don't have Durant, he's going to be able to play in these next 16 games to gel with Harden and everybody else on this team. So while he probably didn't plan this with his left knee, the timing couldn't be better to get to get Kyrie back acclimated with this Brooklyn team. Want to apologize for having the technical issues we've had with Terrell. We're going to have him back. He's going to be with us a whole lot more again because that's our regular go-to guy when we want to talk Hawks. But maybe he's dealing with some cold weather issues and lost power out there where he's at. We don't know, but we want to thank him for having getting up and trying to be with us this morning. We are going to close things out before we turn things over to Chris Goforth, who comes up at the top of the hour. Some games going on in the NFL tonight, or a game going on in the NFL tonight. We talked about the Hawks and something special taking place in the LA Coliseum. We're going to talk about that next. Sam and Greg in for John and Hugh. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Take us with you on the Odyssey app. We'll be right back.
Sports Radio 929 The Game and 929TheGame.com. Sam and Greg wrapping things up on this King Holiday Monday. So glad that you're with us. And, you know, hey, hope you get in the spirit of this holiday that we celebrate. We tried to set the tone a little bit with some of the music that we've had.
That's for you.
This particular song, or this particular album, man. You know, Marvin Gaye, What's Going On? Songs over 50 years ago that asked a lot of questions that we're still asking, unfortunately. Yeah. But set to some tremendous music.
There you go. Again, want to thank John and Hugh for letting us come in here and play. They will be back tomorrow. Chris Goforth going to be doing middays here in just a little bit. He'll be on from 10 until 2. We were talking to, we're attempting to talk to Terrell, and he'll be back with us next week. We want to apologize for having a glitch in his. A lot of gremlins out there. You had some issues yesterday. It's been pretty nice day today, man. It's like almost like you've been at the station, you know?
Kind of like it.
You had one little thing there, so, you know, we got to do this more often. Right? You hate putting miles on your car so early in the morning, man. One of the things is on this King holiday, it fell on a date that we normally, just if we were doing a show on this date, would have spent more time talking about. This would have been Muhammad Ali's 80th birthday. We know about the people he shared this birthday with that we talk about, most notably Betty White, who just passed. She would have been 100 today. Say it out loud. Betty White was old enough to be Ali's father, or mother.
Yeah.
That would have been a bigger story if it was the father. But old enough to be his mother. Yikes, she would have turned 100 years old today. I mentioned some of the other folks. James Earl Jones. Listen, Ali is in a class by himself, but I don't know that James Earl Jones or his voice isn't the most famous person. When even throwing Betty White in there, when you talk about people celebrating a birthday today. Jim Carrey.
Mm-hmm.
For whatever reason, Jake Paul has ascended to, you know, American consciousness with what he's done. His birthday is today. Eartha Kitt. My guess, go Brent Boomerang. Dwayne Wade, former Braves catcher, Tyler Houston. Anyway, some of the folks and some of the things that happened on this day. And I don't know if you remember this fight, if you were covering it. Tim Witherspoon got the WBC crown, knocking out Tony Tubbs. The reason I bring that up is because it took place at the Omni.
At the Omni.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I have a story about that, but I can't get into it today.
Okay.
It was my chance of meeting Don King because he promoted that fight.
Yes, he did. I got a picture with him. It's still here. This was the day the Falcons beat the Vikings in 91. Who would have thought that Gary Anderson would have missed a field goal?
Yeah. And Morton Anderson didn't.
No, he did not. Morton Anderson made his, and they won that game up there in the big, what do they call it, the big hefty bag?
Yeah, with what it looked like anyway inside that thing. Humphrey Metrodome.
2015. Deontay Wilder becomes a heavyweight champ. Comes up to the studios at 92.9 The Game with the belt. Sam and I have that picture, and the dude carried it around. He had no people then. He had nobody. I think maybe one other person. But dude carried that belt around in a case just like they had in Pulp Fiction.
Yep. Big old black briefcase. Where are you going with this black briefcase? He popped that thing open and said, whoa.
The belt was in there. Never forget that. We'll never forget that. Anyway, we got the last of the wild card games going on tonight, which you will be able to hear following the Hawks-Bucks game right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. And Mr. Crenshaw, your thoughts on who you think – and while I'm at it, who you like to see win this game?
Probably the Rams. You know, I would like to see them to get that. Obviously, we know the story, the backstory about Matthew Stafford. But to see they've started out so well this season, and so as did the Cardinals. The Cardinals got off to a great start this season as well. But I just feel like the Rams come through their defense. Can contain Kyler Murray, contain him some, and they get the win tonight.
Garrett, help me out. And Sam, if you can help me out too. And I'm drawing a blank. Yankees pitcher, free agent, all the money in the world.
Garrett Cole.
Thank you. Garrett Cole was brought to the Yankees for one particular reason. And when he got to the playoffs, he wet the bed. We saw that. You hope that doesn't happen to Matthew Stafford, because this is the reason. Tonight is the reason why they brought him from Detroit to get that victory. And so I'm sure all Bulldog Nation is pulling for him too. But, you know, that's what I'm going for too. I'm going for the Rams. Going for the Rams. We already got the setup, with the exception of this game, for next week. We get into divisional play. And you got Saturday's games, the Bengals against the Titans, and then the 49ers against the Packers. Sunday, whoever wins this game tonight is going to go up against Tampa Bay, and you got the Bills and Kansas City. So that's next weekend's action. We will be all over that. Now, of course, we've talked about the Hawks and the Bucks game throughout the night today, and we turn things over to Chris Goforth here, top of the hour. I'm sure he'll be talking more about this. But there's something going on in L.A., that you sent me the information, you sent me the picture, right? And I had kind of forgotten about they were attempting this, but it's now a done deal. NASCAR is coming to L.A., not just in the streets or another arena. They're coming to the L.A. Coliseum. This is going to be special. And if I'm not mistaken, February
6th.
Yeah.
February 6th, they're working. They're feverishly working on putting down the track. And it's interesting, Greg, the things they had to put down below on the grass surface before they laid the asphalt. It's a temporary asphalt track that they're putting down, and went right as soon as they finish the last lap, they'll start pulling it up and doing away with it. But they're putting down a track for them. 40 cars, I think, are entered. They won't all be on the track at the same time. The way they're going to do it will be heat races of about 10 cars, and the top finishes in that will go into a main event on that Sunday. So they're going to do this. It's going to be in a football stadium. My thing is this: if it works, what football stadium? You won't get it back out west, because one of these colleges in this part of the country is going to say, doggone it, you better bring it to my state. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And so I think there are probably some college stadiums around here that are kicking themselves that they didn't think of this first, and that they're doing it out in L.A. in the Coliseum, which is a famous a landmark building. That I've never been to. I've always wanted to go to an event there and go to a Southern Cal football game there. But they're going to have NASCAR. It's going to be a short track, so it's not the same car that they'll be racing in Daytona. So they'll drive those cars.
Is this like Bristol? It's a quarter mile, right?
Yeah, be a quarter mile like Bristol and Martinsville, without the banking of Bristol. So it'll be to me more like Martinsville, which is the big paperclip. But it's a different car.
Yeah.
So you'll drive that car out there. The drivers will fly out, drive the short track car, have their speedway cars ready to go at Daytona, because when they come back, it'll be speed week and ready to get things done at the Twin 125s. I mean, it's kind of ironic. The weekend before the Super Bowl, they're going to have a NASCAR race in the stadium where they played the first Super Bowl.
Hmm.
And so that's what's coming up the weekend of February 6th. And it's been over $1 million, I think, to get that track put down, a temporary track. But, man, who would jump at that first? I don't see them having it in Athens, because they wouldn't want to move the hedges around to do that. But I'm sure that there's
the first place I thought of, we talked about Bristol a minute ago, but would Neyland Stadium, where Tennessee plays, that holds, you know, over 100. I'm trying to think of the bigger locations. I doubt they'll put it in the Big House. Up in Michigan, I doubt that. I'm trying to think of, somewhere.
They're going to keep it in the Southeast, man. It ain't going to get out of the Southeast. I think somebody could have it somewhere like LSU.
Well, I was thinking Texas.
Like
one of those. What's going on in the Cotton Bowl regularly?
State Fair? I don't know. It's what it is. It's the State Fair. That's where the Cotton Bowl Stadium is.
Okay. So they can take a week off from some funnel cakes and put a race in there.
How about that? That's an idea. Somebody would keep it in this part of the country. It would not make it out west.
Yeah. Again, we can't thank you guys enough for making us a part of your Monday morning. I know this is one of those times where you wake up and you're looking for that familiar voice. And even though Mr. Crenshaw is that voice that nobody has a problem with, you got to deal with me, and I'm sorry for that. But you wake up and you don't hear John and Hugh, but they'll be back tomorrow. You know, these holidays, you know. They deserve a little bit of time off, and so we're happy to be here, though. Happy to be here. Got to talk to Russell Baxter earlier, get the breakdown and his thought. He's up there in Pennsylvania, but getting his thoughts on nobody's really called it a retirement. They're just saying that Ben Roethlisberger's, you know, played his last game with Pittsburgh. Well, where's he going to go? He's not going anywhere else. He's not going to another team. And as we talked about, Steelers don't do that, at least all-time great Steelers, right? Do they? I'm trying to think of somebody who Jerome Bettis came
played
from the Rams.
Best years there?
Yeah.
Yep, right. Yep. I can't think of anybody that goes there and plays their best years and then goes some other place.
But I do
see it.
I wonder what we're looking at when we look at Josh Allen right now, the way they dismantled New England. Obviously, he's had some hot and cold games, but when you talk about the new guard of quarterbacks, you know, are we going to be watching duels between him and Patrick Mahomes for years to come? So, Mr. Crenshaw, listen, you get dry up there, and hopefully that snow around you will thaw, and you can get out and about today for a little bit, but have yourself a big day.
Everybody stay safe. Get a chance to catch some of the high school basketball if you can. It's all around the area.
There you go. Garrett Chapman, our producer, thank you very much. As I said, Chris Goforth is coming up next. Everybody, have a warm, safe day today, and be careful on the roads. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Also on the Odyssey app.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.